get down now. No doubt now.
Hour number two. All news San Diego Sports 760. Couldn't get a tribe last night during the Grammys. JRF, you watch the Grammys? Is that something you're even interested in, or just catch the highlights the next day on YouTube?
Exactly. I catch the highlights of the performances the next day on YouTube. Apparently, my cousin won a Grammy. He was
what?
Yeah, so I guess my aunt texted me. I have a third cousin who's like a Latin American producer from Brazil. And I guess he was, there was like a, like, it's at the very bottom of the list. Anyways, he was part of the soundtrack for Visual Media winner.
Good one, man. That's awesome.
Big shoes to fill.
You're going to be nominated for an Emmy. So said Douglas a little bit earlier on the text line. 70470, first word of the text team. Coming up, four-pack of tickets to experience Mardi Gras, SeaWorld San Diego, New Orleans-style carnival event. Comes complete with live music, all the colorful costumes, the Mardi Gras-infused Creole, Cajun food favorites. Of course, you know there's going to be some jambalaya there, vignettes. Don't miss your chance to feel that French Quarter vibe, dance in the streets, indulge in all the flavor and fun that only Mardi Gras can bring. Now through February 26th with park admission. Visit SeaWorldSanDiego.com for more chances to win. Log on SportsSD.com/win. What do you got? What are you laughing at?
Did you say beignets?
Yeah.
Is it beignets?
Beignet, whatever.
I like them.
Trust me, my mind is in
different places. Your mind's on a beach.
Spanish is going to come out at some point.
Okay, I know we're getting to, but real quick on the Grammys. Did you notice that CBS did not do a close-up of Madonna? Like, what was going on there?
I think...
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm like, trying not to...
Okay, never mind.
It didn't look great from the distance it was broadcasting from. Was that CBS last night?
Yes, it was CBS. Was it CBS? It was.
I wonder if Will Brinson was
there. Maybe he knows. Maybe Will knows.
CBS Sports, Pick 6 Podcast. Will Brinson's in a place where we're not. Phoenix, Arizona, or at least somewhere in the Valley of the Sun, covering the Super Bowl between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. He joins us Mondays on San Diego Sports 760. Hello, Will.
What's up, Darren? What's up, Marty? Yeah, look, I have no comment on... Obviously, I watched every second of the Grammys as a good CBS employee, not one second of the Pro Bowl. Definitely didn't skip the Grammys to watch the new Fletch remake or Inglourious Basterds on my plane ride out to Arizona. Currently set up, I think I'm probably illegally sitting in some fancy VIP section. Our CBS Sports HQ setup is at the Super Bowl fan experience. Kind of a cool setup, but a little far from Convention Center. So, you're not missing, I'm getting like half the experience. So you guys aren't missing everything. That makes you feel better.
It does. And
You're being missed though.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. But I feel like Los Angeles, Arizona, I know these are two different places, but in terms of the Super Bowl experience, it's one where if you were sitting there somewhere in the French Quarter, I would have some FOMO. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, in Arizona, it's a little bit trickier because everybody's staying in a different part of the valley.
Yeah, but I want to say that was it not Super Bowl 49, which was in Arizona, and I feel like I'm in a different. It feels like a different like city. Like it doesn't even nothing seems familiar from that time. Obviously, 8 years ago. So I mean, now that I'm supposed to remember, and the city's changed. But weren't we hanging out watching Mark Davis like dangerously eat French fries soaked in ketchup over a white jumpsuit?
That does not sound familiar to me. Marty, does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, I was there.
Was I there?
I don't remember if you were there. Wait, I was there.
Yeah. I mean,
that was in Miami?
No, that was Arizona. And then remember, that's where I got that infamous business card? Do you remember that, Will?
Yeah. But then now the next year at Super Bowl 50, Pete Prisco, we spotted Mark Davis. And Pete Prisco, he's eating pizza, and Prisco went up to him and was like, "Hey man, do you mind if I get a slice?" And he's like, "Yeah, no problem." Slice of
pizza. Oh, that Mark Davis! I've seen him waiting for a hotel elevator in the lobby of a hotel. I was like, "Wow, an NFL owner's actually staying in this hotel? That is amazing." I thought you'd be staying at a much bougier hotel, but he was out there staying at the Westgate. So I don't know. That's our guy, Mark Davis. Any vibe? You've only been there for a couple of hours. Anything to report thus far on Super Bowl in Arizona?
I mean, I would say that not that there should be a lot of fans. No, not really. I mean, Went down to the convention center, was on the Jim Rome show earlier, and I wouldn't say it definitely wasn't packed. Looked like it could be a pretty good crowd coming in there later. I don't know if you remember down on Radio Row last year, last time it was here, it was like, I distinctly remember like pretty, not only say overwhelming crowds, but substantial crowds of fans who came out because they left them in the convention center. I assume that'll be the same again, where they'll be able to wander around through because there's a fan entrance into Radio Row where you can sort of wander around and look at the TV sets and do all that stuff and watch somebody you might be on the set talking to, I don't know, like Pat McAfee or something like that. And so, it's a very familiar setup. And I would say that, the LA, like, the difference between, Arizona and LA, I mean, what a stark contrast. I think that even thinking about getting out here, I was like not anxious, but just like, I don't want to deal with, all of that. And then you get, you can just get somewhere in like 8 minutes here, which is just a very nice a contrast from LA last year.
Well, you must be staying in a different part of town than where we stayed last time. Again, it's a big valley. So, good. It's better if you can stay there closely and you can walk, you can do all that sort of stuff.
What's interesting there? I'm very curious to see. So this is like inside baseball that nobody cares about, but just for like, so this, everyone that, and they booked us all, everyone, like most of the people with CBS at this NBC Suites, but it's one of those hotels where the lobby is like opens up and like every room walks out to a balcony that looks over the, like, it's like all 10 floors, like looks out into the lobby. So like, and you can see if somebody's walking, if somebody's like drunkenly stumbling to their room at 2 a.m. And you happen to be like going to get like ice water or ice at the machine, you would see them. Like, there's no, I don't know. I find that very interesting from a office perspective. Like, what could, like, there, like, feels like something could go wrong here. Unfortunately, it probably will involve me.
Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast. Well, you've had a couple of moments throughout the years, the big events, when Will gets out of the state of North Carolina. We've heard about scooter story situations along those lines as well, not to rehash all of that stuff. You mentioned the Pro Bowl. I was at a bar. I was watching soccer yesterday. It came on afterwards. It caught my eye for a minute or two. I never went back to it when I got home. But I see a headline that says flag football is a hit with the players at the new Pro Bowl. Okay. I'm not going to click on that story, but I just wonder, Will, if you have any thoughts on the Pro Bowl from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, I mean, just sort of catching, I mean, Josh Jacobs now, on the other hand, he's like, I don't give a bleep about this, or like, this bleep sucks, or whatever he said. I mean, I think that speaks to, something, right? Like, it's clearly not just like a perfect format. But I mean, I've had people mention like various stuff that they noticed, like whether it was like Brian Burns and like Myles Garrett, like, I think that the idea of the actual Pro Bowl that we used to watch, like, once it became, like, the Sean Taylor, like, de-cleaning a punter was like one thing, but then all of a sudden, it becomes this sort of, just like everybody's wearing the helmets and it's, you're kind of tackling, but not really. Like, it had just become stale. So I don't mind them shaking it up. Mm-hmm. I just think that, here's my take on the Pro Bowl. Everyone needs to quit with quit being mad at the Pro Bowl. If you don't like the Pro Bowl, don't watch the Pro Bowl.
Right.
And if you want to watch the Pro Bowl, you watch it. And, if I'd been at home and I wasn't, the last, I don't know, probably half decade of traveling during the Pro Bowl because we didn't have to. I don't really watch it and follow it closely, and like it doesn't really affect my job if I don't. But the players like it, like the flag football. That's great. Flag football is fun as hell. Like doing big drills like that is fun as hell. And if it, if it shakes things up, it makes it more interesting. It takes the old stale factor out of it. I'm all for it. Some people will like it, some people won't. But you get your free trip to wherever, and you recognize, and you get a. I mean, somebody win 85, the winning team got 85 grand. I mean, that's, that ain't nothing. I take 85 grand for playing flag football.
Sure. And I only caught a little bit of it. And they were doing something with these huge mattresses and like jumping up and down. And I don't know. I guess it was part of the skills competition. I want to say Stephon Diggs was part of this as well. And it sort of occurred to me, I think, and maybe this is just my own opinion, Will. I don't know that this is universal. But I think the NBA All-star festivities, even the baseball all-star festivities, when these guys let their guard down and they have fun, I think it's a good thing. I think it comes very natural to NBA people because, they're generally speaking, like they have a fun disposition. Football is a very aggressive sport, right? Like it's very serious, helmets on, LFG, let's go. And it was, It was unique because it looked like the players were having a lot of fun, and it's not really their default setting, so it was a little bit different, which is why I guess it caught my eye when I was sitting in a bar yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's like they're not wearing helmets and not flying. They're trying to fly over the field and it can kind of be serious, but kind of not be serious.
Right.
And then the other thing too, like I've been after this for years, is like NBA and MLB, you know, they do it in the middle of the season, and so it's like it's a literal all-star break. And these guys get a chance to take a break and just, you know, breathe from this grind of this super long season. Whereas the football, you know, you do the whole grind. And if you're in the Pro Bowl, it means your season is over and you're not playing for a championship. And so I think that that's like, that factors in mentally. It's great that you're being recognized as like a, you know, one of the best players in football each year. But at the same time, you know, and not to dog on my guy, Derek Carr here, but it's like, I mean, you know, everybody's going to the Pro Bowl, right? Like, I'm surprised Andy Dalton wasn't there. Maybe he was. Point being is, like, I think that the break factor is a bigger deal because it lets these guys really take a breath and sort of soak in, like, the festive nature of this midseason activity. Whereas with football, it's sort of like, all right, you're the little sideshow the week before the Super Bowl, and it just inherently can't be as fun. But I do agree with you that the flag football sort of makes it a less aggressive style of approach when you think about, you know, how we perceive these guys out on the field.
Yeah, again, I, you know, caught my eye that you know, you could sort of even see, though I didn't have the volume on here, you could see some of the personality coming through in what I guess would be described as a skills competition. All right, enough. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast, joining us on San Diego Sports 760. So I was off last week. I didn't get a chance to talk about this. You know, I think that this is a really watchable. All the Super Bowls are watchable, obviously. But when you get, I think, objectively speaking, the two top teams in the league, you get the two MVP candidates. You know, this to me, sometimes we don't always get a matchup like this. And it's fine that we get upsets in the postseason. But I like getting the two best teams and maybe the two best players in this league. I think, you know, for sure, one way or the other, at the end of the day on Sunday, we're going to be able to say the best team won the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the two number one seeds, people are like, oh, chalk in the Super Bowl. It's like, well, they spent, you know, 18 weeks grinding to try and get the one seed and, like, you know, making every possible sacrifice. Like, you know, Mahomes played with a busted ankle, Hurts played with a busted shoulder, you know, comes back early because they can't close out the one seed while he's, you know, there's two games that he missed with Minshew playing. Like, I mean, this is the whole point is to reward the regular season. And when these guys play that well and they get the number one seed and then they take care of business in their respective, you know, conferences, and it was a lot easier for the Eagles. But, I mean, to me, this is like, I don't know. I mean, we're you know, we have a show 3 p.m. Eastern or 3 p.m. Mountain Time, excuse me. So, like, basically like a half hour after I get off of you. And I think, anyway, it's on CBS Sports HQ, CBSSportsHQ.com. You can watch it. But we're doing, like, the storylines from this thing. And, I mean, it's just not hard to find a ton of storylines for this Super Bowl. I mean, whether you want to go with Andy Reid and, you know, the Philly story, Nick Sirianni was fired by Andy Reid in Kansas City. You have the Kelce brothers. You have, you know, again, the two court, like, the, you know, one of the things is, like, you know, Jalen Hurts, where does he rank in terms of dual threat quarterbacks and rushing quarterbacks all time? Like, if he goes and wins the Super Bowl, you know, it's pretty high, right? And then Mahomes, like, second Super Bowl, probably a second Super Bowl MVP, two MVPs before the age of 27. Like, I mean, if there's, you know, Tom Brady just retired and the immediate consensus is there's a 0% chance anyone will ever challenge Brady for the GOAT. Well, I mean, if Mahomes wins this one, it's like all of a sudden that's on the table. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, like, two great teams. You're not going to find anybody who's going to definitively tell you they know how the Super Bowl is going to play out either. Because I think that, is there a chance that the Eagles could, I don't think either team gets blown out. I think that's pretty unlikely. You know, if Mahomes is banged up or something like that, it changes it. But to me, this is, and it's a little bit of a cop out, I guess, but it's so easy to just say, like, this is clearly this is going to be a 3-point game. It's going to come down to a field goal. It's going to be an enthralling Super Bowl. It's a matchup of two awesome teams. They're like, and then from a strategic standpoint, you can say, okay, you know, what are the Eagles going to do on offense? Are they going to come out and start throwing the football, you know, against these rookie chief cornerbacks, these young chief cornerbacks, and try to get the Chiefs back up on their heels? And then, sorry, there's somebody donning a poop emoji costume out in the middle of this fan experience, which is extremely distracting.
Wow.
I'm trying to fight through it. Yeah, exactly. Will the Eagles, NFL analysis, straight into poop emojis. Will the Eagles run first, and they like, will they try to use the pass instead of the run? Will they try to run early and then, you know, attack deep later? And then, like, defensively, you know, the one play really where we saw Mahomes roll to his left, in that AFC Championship game, he hurt his, you know, and throw, like, on the run, they're trying to make a move while rolling to that side. He ended up hurting his ankle, re-aggravating his ankle injury. So it's like, will they try to, you know, will the Eagles overload the left side of the defensive line and try and push, you know, pressure into Mahomes and force him to roll to his left and throw that way, hoping to re-aggravate the injury? Like, there's so many storylines, and there's also so many, like, technical, you know, like how will the Chiefs defend Hurts? You know, we saw Spags, you know, at times use cover two against Joe Burrow, like randomly, you know, are the Eagles going to bracket Kelsey? There's just so many different, like, football, like, specific strategy, like, items that you can talk about from storylines. And then there's also all these other storylines that are, like, legitimate, like, non-made up, you know, outside, off the field storylines. I mean, it's a fascinating Super Bowl, and I agree with you. It's like, these are the two best teams, and it's a great matchup.
Yeah. And plus, I think that they're two unique stories as well. I mean, we all understand Kansas City's been a model of consistency with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and the road to the Super Bowl goes through Kansas City every single year. But it wasn't like everybody guaranteed that after they traded Tyreek Hill, right? Like, people were sort of going, well, I don't know, maybe that tough division now, maybe it's the Chargers' turn to represent, maybe it's the Raiders' turn to represent, maybe Denver, they're going to let Russ go, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I do think you can make that case. Plus, it wasn't that long ago. Philadelphia was a real nightmare, firing a coach, getting rid of Carson Wentz. Who's Jalen Hurts, right? Like, you know, here's a guy who's sort of okay, but he wasn't expected. I don't know that anybody, you know, saw the future of Jalen Hurts leading a team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. Well, I mean, I think that's a great point. Like, the Eagles were, I mean, excuse me, the Chiefs were, and I harped on this all offseason. I mean, I harped on it with you, like, leading up to the season. It's like, the Chiefs were plus 160 to win the division. To win the division before the season. You could get almost 2-1 on the Chiefs to win their freaking division before the season, and because people were obsessed, like, everybody's picking the Chargers and the Raiders and the Broncos. It's like, man, this is the easiest bet in the history of sports betting, and it was. They cruised the division title. Now, but you're right, but like, to your point, they're like, not everybody was convinced that the Chiefs would survive life after Tyreek Hill. And on the Eagles stuff, I mean, we were talking with Anthony Gargano out of Philly on my podcast earlier last week, and he was like, he's pointing out that, you know, the plan coming into this season for the Eagles was, all right, let's see if Jalen Hurts is more than a runner. And if he is, great. If not, you know, we've got draft capital. We'll move up and get somebody in this year's draft. And now he's like, you know, would have been the MVP if he hadn't hurt his shoulder. And he's just, you know, developed, like, insanely as a passer, and just has this skill set as a runner that is, you know, really difficult to deal with from a defensive standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, in the draft, the Eagles are 2-1 to win their division at various points. I've got a 38-1 ticket on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl that I bet, like, during the draft. And I really heard the cashes. They make for a nice little bonus for me on Sunday. But, I mean, you know, 38-1 is a long shot, dude. Like, that is well outside the range of your normal, you know, favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and again, unless I'm just misremembering, it was just a couple of years ago. They fired Frank Reich. There was all sorts of stuff happening there.
Doug Peterson, but yeah.
I'm sorry, yes, thank you. My apologies.
Well, Frank Reich had just left. Dude, it was only a couple of years ago when people were like, are we sure that Frank Reich wasn't the key to Doug Peterson winning a Super Bowl?
Right, and, you know, that is like, well, what are we doing? You had player discontent playing out publicly because they were putting different quarterbacks on the bench, and, you know, not starting the guys that people in the locker room thought they should be starting. That thing was a mess like 3 years ago, and nobody knew who this coach was.
Yeah. I mean, remember when they hired Sirianni, and he was like, did the rock, paper, scissors thing at his press conference. They were like, oh, my God. They made a huge mistake here. And turns out he's just this, like, aggressive, like, Philly, perfect for Philly type of dude who fits in, is a much better schematic coach than I think he even gets credit for now. If you see the way he adjusts offensively and how he approaches it. The Philly was not a favorite to be here. They were not a favorite to even win their own division, much less were they the favorite to, you know, be the number one seed in the NFC and to win the Super Bowl. Like, they were a longer shot. And the Chiefs, again, the Chiefs, who have won this division like 15 years in a row. I think they've won it. Has anybody else won it since Andy Reid took over?
No.
And I feel like I would know that because I pick the Chargers every year.
Nope. I mean, you're right about it. I mean, they were they've been winning the division since the Chargers were in San Diego. That much I know.
Yeah. Like, they win it every year, and they were plus 160 to win the division. Like, it is a it seems like an obvious matchup now. Oh, by the way, you know, old Greg Chalk Rosenthal, I believe, picked this exact matchup before the season. So good for him.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I had Eagles Ravens, but you know, I'm not a
way to climb out on a limb, Greg.
Yeah, Greg. Way to get crazy with the Chiefs pick, pal. I haven't seen old Greg. I think he is in town.
Maybe he's in that poop emoji suit.
Yeah. We can beef. We'll take a picture. We'll squash the beef and send it to you guys. But yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, if you pick the Eagles to make the Super Bowl before the season, you're in a pretty small group of people to do so. And if you pick the Chiefs, I mean, like, again, you know, it's not like they were ever, you know, like outside of 10-1 or anything, but I mean, they weren't minus money to win the division, which for the first time in like 5 years.
Well, who you like? You're not a guy that's going to be swayed by something you hear on Radio Row this week, so I'm sure you arrived in Arizona knowing who you're going to pick in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I you know, the one time I did that was actually Super Bowl 48 in New York when the Broncos got their faces kicked in by the Seahawks, and I was such a big Russ guy, you know, coming out of college and just, you know, played at NC State, and I had experience with him, and you know, and I talked myself into the Broncos because listening to Pete Prisco on Radio Row. So I'll never do that again. And I got the Eagles, man. I think, you know, I don't want to bet against Mahomes. I think it'll be a really close game. I don't think anybody, you know, you can give all the analysis you want, you know, and talk about this game all you want. You know, I'd be surprised if anybody, you know, if anybody pounded the table like the Eagles are going to stomp the Chiefs. Like, that's a bad take, because even if you firmly believe the Eagles will win, and I do believe they'll win, you have to believe it's going to be a close game. You know, we've seen the Chiefs in a bad spot against the 49ers in the Super Bowl, you know, in Miami, and they have Patrick Mahomes and they have Andy Reid. Now, they don't have Tyreek Hill, which I think it matters a little bit, in the sense that if the Eagles get a lead, and the Eagles one, you know, weakness is, you know, the center of their defense. So how they approach Travis Kelce defensively, if I knew how they would approach him defensively, and I have a good idea that they're going to bracket him, or at least double team him, you know, bump, you know, make life, force the Chiefs to win with somebody else, but don't let Travis Kelce beat you. That's the one thing you can't do if you're the Eagles. And so, you know, if you told me that they didn't play defense like that, then I would probably change my mind. But I have to think that they're smart enough to approach the game knowing that if they can, like, limit Travis Kelce, not let Travis Kelce beat them, they have a really good chance at winning, because what they can do well, I don't think the Chiefs are necessarily great at stopping. Although Steve Spagnuolo, fantastic defensive coordinator, certainly will have some stuff mixed up for Jalen Hurts. But, you know, the Eagles' run game is so physical that when you start getting downhill with Hurts, it's hard to stop. And if you load up the box to slow it down, they could just go up top and get A.J. Brown in one-on-one coverage, or Devontae Smith in one-on-one coverage with these, you know, these young cornerbacks. So I just think the Eagles, like, the way that they're built is just a little too tough to stop. So I got the Eagles winning what I think will be a great game and a very close game.
A little bit of self-serving nature to this question. But for anybody out there who plays DFS, which running back do you think will have the biggest game upcoming this weekend? You got Pacheco, McKinnon, Miles Sanders, obviously.
Yeah, that's not self-serving. That was a self-serving pick. It's a self-serving pick in the Eagles by me, too, by the way, because I want that.
Oh, it's that question was motivated by a pool I'm in. But
yeah, I mean, no. I would say, so I think that there's a decent chance that this is, and the Philly host that was on with us, too, said, you know, these Philly guys know Andy Reid really well. It's like, he made a good point. It's like, what if Andy Reid the last 2 weeks, like, hammering Pacheco, and granted, like, you know, they weren't easy win, you know, not, you've never guaranteed easy wins, particularly against the Bengals. But what if he was, like, just hammering Pacheco, using Pacheco a ton, and it's all sort of a deke for the Super Bowl, in which he busts out, you know, Jerick McKinnon in a screen game and just starts, like, because Andy Reid is the best screen play caller, screen designer in the history of professional football. Like, no one has been or will be better. So, like, what if it was all sort of like a kind of a setup to, like, unleash McKinnon here, and it's a big, big McKinnon game, which I think it could be. Plus, look at Eagles pass rush. You think about the Mahomes injury. I sort of thought they would do it against Cincy. McKinnon's a very good pass blocker, and so I kind of think we could see a lot of McKinnon. If the Eagles have a lead, obviously Miles Sanders can pop off, and he's been great in the playoffs. So I'm going to go back to the McKinnon well on DFS and hope that it doesn't burn me for the third straight week.
Hey, overall, I'm happy to be spending the entire week in my own bed. But if there was one thing that we would be missing this week, honestly, it really would be hanging out with Will Brinson. It's always a ton of fun. We're sorry we're not going to get a chance to do that. But, Will, we thank you very much for checking in with us. Have a great week. We look forward to the coverage, the outstanding coverage that you provide all season.
Well, likewise, Darren. Miss you guys out here. But we will do it again soon, I am sure. And you guys have an excellent week as well, my friend.
Have fun. Will Brinson, Pick 6 Podcast. Everybody, check those guys out. Subscribe to the podcast. Listen to it all week long. If you're going to Vegas, maybe you want to make some bets. Maybe you're going to have one of those Super Bowl parties where you make a bunch of prop bets. They will cover all of that stuff as well. Just gave you a little bit on the running backs there, which is interesting because he sort of said something there that I've been thinking a little bit about since the matchup was announced, since I'm now find myself in a situation where there's quite a bit of money on the line. So I got to pick wisely upcoming on Sunday. Thank you to Will. Back after this.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home.
Coming up, text 70470, first word of the text team. TEAM. Predictably, there's quite a few J-Lo texts.
Oh, see?
Loaded on the text line.
I told you, great at everything. Singing, dancing, her perfume line, her clothing line, and presenting. So no doubt, texters just full of compliments for our girl J-Lo.
Our girl
J-Lo. She always looks great.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Grammys?
I did. I started watching it from the second hour on. I missed the very, very last performance with Jay-Z and everybody and John Legend and all that. I heard it wasn't very, very good except for Jay-Z. But no.
Oh, really? That's DJ Khaled, right?
Yeah. I heard it was like a 4-hour show. I missed the actual opening, so I had to go back and watch Trevor Noah's monologue, and that was very, very good. And of course, your boy Bad Bunny. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good.
My
very
boy.
4-hour show.
That's
your boy.
My boy.
Your boy, man.
Crushed it.
He crushed it. I still think Lizzo was. Did you see her speech?
I did.
One of the best speeches I've ever seen. It was fantastic. She was awesome. She is just fun, man.
She's her.
She's light. She's fun. She's a vibe. She was great. Well, why are you rolling your eyes? What was your favorite part of the 50 years of hip-hop?
Public Enemy.
Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper. I mean, Queen Run Latifah. DMC, you know, for me, Run DMC.
Buster Rhymes.
Missy Elliott.
Yeah, I love Missy Elliott.
Missy
yes.
was so great. I guess, you know, she's as reluctant a person as any.
To is she
go
really?
And accept that. Yeah, she's totally out of the public spotlight.
Man, that was great.
It was really good. It was really, really good. And the backstory for how that all came out is really good as well.
By the way, I wasn't trying to talk about it. I was on Madonna. I'm like, they would only show her presenting from a distance. Like, normally you're going to go ahead and focus in on the person's face. Mm. They made a point of not doing that. And I was like, what's going on? I thought it was kind of curious.
Yeah, she also suggested that what we were about to see was going to be controversial and didn't feel controversial to me.
Just for certain states. That's it.
But there's some really... I'm there for the performances. Quite frankly, I fast forward through most of the stuff. But I'm there for the performances.
Did you like
and
Harry
there are
Styles?
Some really good ones. Not really.
No?
Not really. I thought he was low energy. I'll say he won album of the year or record of the
apparently
year.
Apparently he's been like
he
a, he's on tour, so he's very, very tired.
Well, you know, then there are other people I'm sure that would take that spot.
Okay.
I really like the Smokey Robinson.
Oh, that was good.
Stevie Wonder, and I'm drawing a blank. Who's this country music guy? The guy with the long beard. Chris Stapleton?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that was him.
I thought that was really good. I thought that was a really good one. I thought the In Memoriam was outstanding.
I know.
I don't understand certain things. I don't know enough about what... I will say it's interesting in 2023. Think about this. You know, you think about this.
You think about it, right.
Ozzy Osbourne, mm-hmm. Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt all won Grammys last night.
Mm-hmm.
In 2023.
The Bonnie Raitt one kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I actually surprised everybody, apparently.
Ozzy won because Rock is basically dead.
What's that?
So he's the only one alive still kicking?
Well, he's the only one that has... Yeah, he's like the only one with a name who's actually still doing it.
Okay.
And like there's no new up-and-comer rock bands because rock in my generation basically doesn't exist.
Did a double take on that. Ozzy Osbourne, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt in the year 2023.
Yeah.
all won Grammy Awards separately.
ABBA was nominated.
ABBA. Yeah. That's like, this has got to be a cover,
40
right?
years. No, it's them. 40 years later.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I'm just telling you, Bad Bunny is Super Bowl quality, in my opinion. If you can open up the Grammys, you can get nominated, and should have had, frankly, more nominations than that. And you can be the number one streaming artist 3 or 4 years in a row. Biggest grossing selling tour of all time, for anybody that doesn't know this stuff. You can put that person at halftime of a Super Bowl, as far as I'm concerned. Now, what we do need is Juan Soto to show up at the Grammys and give him a Padre hat. Since I did see that clip of Soto taking a Dodger hat from some woman on a street corner, chucking it and giving her a Padre hat, since our dude was wearing a Dodger hat last night.
Right.
But I think he just does that based on whatever city he's in.
Sure.
So we need Soto to show up there and say, listen, Benito, here's your new hat. It's a Padre hat. Or what we need is Eric Grubner to get the Grammys to Petco Park. One or the other. Whatever one works for me. Speaking of Petco Park, Manny Machado spoke over the weekend. You can find this entire session at sportssd.com.
Yes.
Here's a little bit of Manny talking to the media.
How long have you been trying to recruit Nelson Cruz to Padres?
Oh, years. I mean, it's been years. Finally, he's going to be a part of this team, and it's great to play with him again and to have him in the clubhouse. I know what he brings. I know what type of player he is. I know what type of guy he is in the clubhouse and what he's going to do to this team. So, to have him, I think, it's going to be huge. And him to come back and have a bounce back year, I think, it's just another guy in the lineup that could do some damage. So.
Speaking of bounce back years, what does it mean to have Pernodatius back in the fold, and how can you guys help him through what he's going to face?
We're all going to have to deal with it together as a team, and I think he's a big part of this team. He's a big part of this organization, and we're going to be there with him through the whole way. So, to have him back healthy, have him back in that lineup, and have him do the things that he's capable of doing, it's going to be huge. And he was a big part of our lineup in the past, and he's going to be a big part of the lineup this year for us. And I know he's going to have a monster year, and he's going to take us to the promised land.
As far as his demeanor, is he the same happy guy that he was prior?
Oh yeah, I think he has more motivation. I think he has a lot to prove, and as a player, as very talented, I think he's going to come out there and do what he's going to do. And it's, speaking of experience, finally being healthy, I think it's a big part of it. When you're not healthy and you're not able to perform at 100%, it's always tough. So, for him to finally have a good offseason, he got done what he needed to do with the surgery. So he's back to being 100%. I think, the sky's going to be the limit with him. And you go to the second half of the lineup, we got Cronenworth hitting behind us. So we got Nelly Cruz, Matt Carpenter. I mean, the lineup's just getting deeper and deeper. And, this team is just getting that much better. I think we've gotten the experience over the last couple of years as well. So, ultimately, it's about going out there and playing baseball. I think, adding Bogey is huge, adding Nelly, adding Carpenter, who's won. Adding these guys, just veteran leaderships that are going to help us get to where we want to be in a long season. It's always huge, because it's always a learning experience, and you always learn from each other. So adding guys like that is always big. And, every year, AJ and the staff has always, try to improve this ball club in whatever way they can. And, they're going to continue to do that.
All right, Manny Machado, Fan Fest over the weekend. 704-70, first word of the text, team, TEAM. We're going to jump into a lot of these texts when we return. All sounds great in February. On their way to the World Baseball Classic, their respective teams on their way to Peoria, Arizona for a couple of weeks. Then the regular season. It's pretty exciting. Not going to lie. It's a pretty good team. Pretty good. Probably a playoff team. I guess one of the stories is
probably. If they're not, it's one of the biggest. It's a massive disappointment. Anything else would be wow.
I think the story of the regular season for me is from a team standpoint. Are they contenders for the division?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they finished about a billion games behind the Dodgers.
Right.
Dodgers. including last year when much of this nucleus was there. But Bogarts, Tatis, these are difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, perceived step back. That's, you know, that's to me one of the more interesting ones. I'd love to see some odds on that and, you know, see where it is.
I have them.
Oh.
You read my mind, or I read your mind. Current odds, Astros plus 650 to win, Yankees plus 650 to win, Dodgers plus 750 with the Mets, Braves and Padres are both 1,000.
Okay. So then I would take that. I would then extrapolate that the Padres are not favorites in the NL West.
The Dodgers are
still
favorites.
The favorites in the NL West. Yep. And, you know, hey, listen, to be the champs, you got to beat them. So, you know, you do have to do it. And maybe that was an indicator of things to come. What we watched in October, even if it was just a 5-game series, should be pretty fun. I mean, certainly, you know, on a season now, like where we always talk about baseball, regular season, expanded postseason, you know, that's an interesting subplot to a regular season, in my opinion. Back after this.
Coming up to 3 on John and Jim. We're outside Viejas Arena getting you ready for a big Aztec game tonight versus Boise.
Man, they owe Boise State one, don't they? After losing 3 times last year. Go get them. Go get the Broncos.
You know,
definitely owe those dudes one.
I think not to steal what I think is going to be from Jay Riff's preview, but I do believe that the last 5 matchups between the two, neither team has scored over 60.
But I have a feeling this game's going to be different.
It'll be interesting to see if any team can score over 60 points, Darren.
You know, you lose 3 times to a team like the Aztecs lost to Boise State last year. You feel like you owe them one.
Really?
Wouldn't surprise me at all if San Diego State won this game by 20.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's see. I can't wait to see what happens.
Let's get to some texts.
It's time to hear from you.
I had a lot of texts today and a lot of different things.
Your thoughts.
619, Jack Cronin for Speaker of the House. I'm with you on that.
Feelings.
619, the new 2023 got Darren questioning how to spell team. T-E-A-M.
And questions.
619, what's the shortest you ever had a job? I lasted one day. I worked for a hospital.
Text us at 704-70.
949 number says, welcome back. Is there any way we can create a meme of Marty standing next to J-Lo and Ben Affleck with Ben having that awful look on his face in misery? Because he's at the Grammys.
Wait, what? What awful look?
I can do it.
Deliriously happy.
609, sorry, Darren, but you're soft, bro. How dare you take time off instead of being here with your listeners? I know. 609, where'd you go? Ixtapa? Yeah, Ixtapa, Zihuatanejo. What a place, man. What a place.
Did you find the Shawshank scene? Did you go to the where Red?
I found the beach where I think it was based on.
Uh-huh.
I think it was based on Playa La Ropa.
Is that boat still there? Is Andy Dufresne?
I did send you the picture. There are people capitalizing on the Shawshank idea of Ziwa, but 8588, Darren, the pick of Bogarts, Manny, Soto, Tatis on stage with the whole city behind them was amazing. I can't believe this is really our team. Opening day can't come soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
714 number says an entire week of toxic masculinity permeating the San Diego radio waves. Now the hormonal balance can be back to normal. Just in time. 949, Darren, can you please sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game for J-Ref?
Yes, please do. Could you do this, please? Unbelievable,
dude.
Man.
619, there are at least 5 t-shirt ideas from Thursday and Friday, Darren. I was getting random reports about things that were said and things that were incorrect. I don't know them all. Is there anything you want to say about Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Just to recap for anybody else that might have missed it.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us the next phrase.
I think those people should just go and listen to the podcast.
Buy me some peanuts and sauerkraut, Darren. Did you know that?
619 number says, welcome back, Darren. Marty and J-Riff held down the fort while you were gone. Great job last week. I told J-Riff and Marty the Aztecs were going to bust a nut, score more than 70 points. Go Aztecs. 760, simply put, Marty's now quite capable of hosting her own show. The Marty Caswell and Friend Show could be on right after the afternoon, guys. Here's the one thing nobody ever asked, though, and I don't disagree with you. But is that what she wants to do? Nobody ever asked that question. They all just say you should have your own show. But nobody even bothers asking if Marty wants her own show. Answer might surprise you.
Yep.
909 number, good week, but how does Darren feel about sauerkraut at baseball games? 847, welcome back. Now that you're back, maybe you can help Marty and J-Riff with the pronunciation of Zihuatanejo.
Marty was saying Zihuatanejo.
That's not what I said. I said Zihuatanejo.
Most people there locally just call it Ziwa.
Ziwa. Or Shawshank Island. That's what I would call it.
Island, yeah, sure.
Was there a Shawshank bar? Did you find it?
There was a place that was selling. I don't know what the copyright rules are internationally, but this place didn't give them. Didn't care.
Okay. Yeah. I would buy everything there. Everything. Yeah.
609. Wow, you were down 60% on your phone usage. Man, I'm happy when my iPhone tells me I'm down 3%. Nice. 949. Darren, can you look up the number of pickups through... Oh, you can't. That's another iPhone thing. 609, welcome back. Did Marty and or Cocksure tell you the story about Marty saying bust a nut on Friday? Best moment of the week.
I was reading verbatim the text line.
But what you don't know is I read this text earlier in the show and I cleaned it up. So she just did all of my hard... undid all of my hard work.
You can't say that on the air? Is that
I was just trying to spare you.
Got Mark Sweeney coming up next. 619 number asks, an honest question. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's about time to stop celebrating a baseball team that got swept in the World Series 25 years ago? Not if people are into it.
No.
I mean, it's the high water mark in this franchise. That was the best team that this franchise has ever produced.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that it's the be-all, end-all of the Padre organization. Obviously, there's going to be opportunity this year to see what this group can do by comparison.
Yeah.
But I don't personally have any issue.
That is the last World Series team, and that is the team that got Petco Park built. You cannot forget how freaking popular that team was to get something built in a city that couldn't build anything.
Great point.
That team had Trevor Hoffman, Tony Gwynn, Bruce Bochy, you can't forget it.
619A, Darren, did you know that the Argentinian soccer team had to be helicoptered out? Yeah.
What?
760, here's a suggestion. Have households register to FanFest, one per household, either autograph or photo, limit per player. Okay. 609, the new four tops pick coming soon, Marty. I'm going to be really excited when the Nando, Xander, Manny Soto pick drops.
Dude, I have the original. Think about this. I mean, I have the original four top shirt with Tony Fernandez, Tony Gwynn, Gary Sheffield, Fred McGriff. And that was the four tops, and they were in the All-Star game, and it was amazing. And then you see the Padres four tops now. Wow.
619, the reason that J-Lo Hack didn't sing at the Grammys is because they require artists sing live. We all know that Hack can't do it without autotune to save her life. J-Riff, did you have a hangover? Everybody's asking about your Sunday morning hangover cure.
That's right.
I'll make it quick. We did a text contest. I knew I was going to be hungover on Sunday. We said best hangover cure gets the tickets. I said I would try it. I did. I had a shot of tequila, pickle juice, and Tabasco sauce, and it got rid of my hangover. So thank you, my friend, for recommending that.
Pickle juice.
949, did you know Take Me Out to the Ball Game goes Give Me Some Peanuts and Sauerkraut? I missed a funny moment in radio history. By our friend Jay Riff last week. All right, there's a whole bunch more here. There's a lot. You guys are very chatty today, which we appreciate. It's always making the show a lot better when you do chime in. We'll get back to it when we return. Mark Sweeney, Bally Sports San Diego, part of that 98 team.
Yep.
That will be recognized during the season. The winningest regular season team that this franchise has ever had. 98-98. And to Marty's point, got Petco Park built. Pretty significant group that was put together there. And I do want to actually talk about that with Mark, because there's a lot of hype for this and a lot of expectation. And I'm sure Mark would probably be able to relate to that as a role player and a significant part of that clubhouse in 1998. Mark Sweeney joins us next.